It's very, very valuable. And what it does is also bond you with your animal. They love you. They just absolutely love it. And people learn, it's a great thing for people to learn how to actually be with their animal on their animal's terms rather than on humans' terms. It's like, because we teach you how to read the animal, to be with them, to recognize all the signals they give you. When you can go in, when you should leave them alone. And this actually helps. And then when they see the responses, it's like, oh, wow. And you can do it. It's not me doing it. You're doing it with your animal. And because Bowen is love, to me, Bowen is love in a package. And it's just such a beautiful thing between you and your animal.
Welcome to Bowen Fest 23 podcast series. Join Vanessa King in conversation with Alison Goward and Lindley Maroney. Animals in distress.
I don't think either of you need much introduction, but for those who are yet to learn about your work, let's share some of your history. Ali is a Principal Director of Equus College of Learning and Research, the animal arm of BOTEC. After a career in education, including developing and lecturing remedial body therapies and veterinary nursing, Ali learnt the most remarkable therapy in the world, Bowen. Finding Bowen was the icing on the cake. It encompassed the influences of natural medicine, allopathic medicine, at the junction of both Eastern and Western medicine. Not only was it holistic on all levels, it also carried its unique energy frequency, encompassed in God-given love. Ali studied Bowen with Ozzy and Elaine Wrench for 5 years before becoming an internationally accredited senior instructor with the BTAA. Ali soon was able to realise her dream of helping animals. Starting in 1990, EMRT, the official Bowen on horses, was researched and the moves developed for 3 years before being taught its little sister, CCMRT, the official Bowen on small animals, soon followed. There is more to tell of your story, and I'm sure we'll hear about that very soon, but not before I introduce Lindley. Being born on a Big Hill country farm in New Zealand, Lindley was surrounded by animals and her love of horses, and all animals has stayed with her for life. Lindley's passion for healing led her to a career in nursing, and later, after many years of being involved in the thoroughbred racing and breeding industry, she was faced with back surgery and a 50% chance of ending up in a wheelchair. A friend suggested she try Bowen therapy, and Lindley has never looked back. Coincidentally, that same friend told her about a lady coming to teach Bowen on horses, and she knew instantly this was my calling. Lindley has gone on to work with high-performance horses nationally and internationally with New Zealand teams and Olympians. She has become an instructor and teaches in many countries around the world with both EMRT and CCMRT. Welcome to you both. You've heard your introductions, but I'd love to hear how it was for each of you. How is it that you have this passion for supporting animals and Bowen therapy? Let's start with Ali.
Oh, okay. Well, when I was little, I had loved animals, just absolutely adored them. Horse mad. My first thought was, I love horses. I think I was 2 or 3, and I can remember that very vividly. And I was lucky enough to be born with a gift of feeling sensations in my hand. When I touched people, I could feel where their pain was, and I used to think that was just normal for everybody. I grew, of course, I went to teachers' college and a few other things, and I ended up wanting to use my gift or to help people. So I chose to study natural therapies. So I studied naturopathy and body therapies and eventually became a remedial body therapy teacher. And it was at that time that it was really weird because it was this word, Bowen. It was in the late 80s and nobody knew what Bowen was except that in our natural therapy circle there was this word, Bowen. And so we thought, well, we've got to know what this word is. It had a real pull to it, a real calling. So we went off to Brisbane and met Ozzy, And he introduced us to this beautiful, non-invasive, very gentle therapy that for me had gave me the vehicle to be able to do what I needed to do. And I had already decided that my life was to be dedicated to helping animals, but I didn't know how. And when I learnt Bowen, the answer was there. It was going to be Bowen because it's non-invasive. Animals don't like to be touched or fiddled around with. So this therapy absolutely suited them. And that's how it really started. So in the late 80s, it's like, that's it. I'm going to use this to help animals, especially horses. Before that, Reiki, which now probably most people have heard a little bit about Reiki, but in the early 80s, nobody had heard it. And a friend of mine had done it, said, you should do this. This is what you do with your hands. You've got to do this. So I'd done Reiki, thought, yes, okay. And with the body therapies and the naturopathy, and I'd also been a vet nurse. So part of my background is in vet nursing. And it was actually while we were doing an operation that I decided I wanted to help animals, spend my life devoted to animals. And so having that allopathic and naturopathic Eastern and Western medicine, because I studied Qigong with a very beautiful Chinese master, so the healing, energy healing work. So all those came together in Bowen. I think when Ozzy said that Mr. Bowen said, just watch, son, because Ozzy would say, well, how do you do this? How do you know? It's like, just watch. So, oh, you didn't quite get that. Just watch. And that's a very Taoist way of being, just watching the master and working it out for yourself. And then when you do that, you actually get it. I think more than just being told, given a book and following directions, it's like watch, listen, learn all your senses. I tuned into actually watching how it goes. So, and then I spent the next 5 years like a camp follower and followed Ozzy and Ilya around the world because I needed to have this just right. So I just watched them and heard things. You know, the funny thing is, and this is a bit by the by, I used to go to so many courses and people would say, oh, Ozzy, you didn't do it there last time. And this was a common thing. Oh, he didn't do it then, when I saw it before. And actually, he did. It's really interesting. It just showed me that people will have a perception of something from the angle they're looking at. And then when they look at it from a different angle, it looks different. Or maybe the explanation of it was a little different. So therefore made the performance of the move look a little different. But it never changed. Every course I went to, it never changed. And for me, with developing the work for the animals, it hasn't changed. The application of the move is exactly the same. In fact, with the move, we have to be even gentler and quieter and more respectful because an animal, well, as an animal, doesn't talk, doesn't know what we're doing. They haven't come to us and say, oh, can you give me a treatment because I've got a bad back? Their owner has said, can you please help this horse because he's not working properly? So you go into their space and perform on them. So it's a very much a stepping back and asking permission. And then very quietly, when they're ready, you go into their space and work with them. Or I've spent my whole life researching. I love studying, researching, finding out how does it work. I'm one of the biggest skeptics I've come across, and I don't believe anything anyone tells me until I've experienced it myself. So research is a really big thing. And with this work, I was very, very lucky because the vet who I spent a lot of my time with in the vet surgery came on board. And he was what he calls, I'm an Einsteinian scientist, Ali. You know, none of this wacky-do stuff for me. He said, I don't know what you do, but it works, so I'll back you. Because he used to call me Spooks because he said, I don't know what you do, but it's spooky, but it works. And with his backing, I based myself out of his surgeries. He had a couple of vet surgeries. And he would give me cases, often non-resolve, from him. He said, go and try, go Spooks, go and have a look at this one, see what you can do. And that was working with him was a wonderful way of actually working on cases because, as you know, in the natural therapies world, we don't work on definable conditions. We work with the body to balance it out and help it get into a homeostasis that it can get better. But we don't actually say, oh, I'm going to treat your certain specific condition. So it was very lucky that I could actually go and treat all these animals that had, you know, some were blind, some couldn't move, all sorts of cases, wobbler syndromes, so many different cases, tetanus. We had a non-resolved tetanus case, very expensive in the veterinary world to actually get the drugs for tetanus. And this is a young lass and she had six little kids and Terry said, she can't afford the treatment. Go and see what you can do with the dog. And one treatment and his tetanus went away because it was lockjaw. And it was amazing to watch the jaw gyrate, the tongue twist and turn and everything releasing. It's just the most marvelous therapy I've ever come across. It really was the answer to everything I've ever looked for. Sorry, I got away from research. Research, as far as, well, this has been 33 years now in the making. And when I started, there was absolutely nothing like it in the world. There was one man in the States who I thought would be really good to communicate with. He was a trigger point therapist and he was very highly applauded in certain equine circles. So I got in touch with him and said what I was endeavoring to do. And he explained to me how I, when I described the work I was doing, he said, you're working with proprioception, with central nervous system, with the autonomic nervous system. And so just giving me those clues, it's like, right. And also my training in traditional Chinese medicine and energy work and massage. And look, having studied the body, both the equine, the small animal and the human, brought all that into this work. So that research on that level had been done. The thing then was to look at the horse is four-legged, the human is two-legged. So therefore, the center of gravity is different. So how does an animal biomechanically move and work when the balance is different? How can you adapt moves that are created for a human upright two-legged person to a being that's on four legs? And not only that, has a rider sitting on his back, which actually is behind the center. The center of gravity in a horse is actually near the elbow on the rib cage. So that's the center. So you've got a rider that sits behind that, and then they're awkward on the horse. So the horse has to compensate for a saddle, a rider being off balance. So their stresses and strains on the body are a little bit different. The other thing is their digestive system, they're prey animals, so they're herbivores. And that actually does become a factor in, because I'm into acid-alkaline balancing within the body and how acid creates most of the disease that I look at. So that all those factors came into play. And another one, so that was the physical body, was the mental patterning of the animal, a prey animal, fear, fright or flight. So working with that instinct and me coming in as a predator, do you know how to tell what a predator is? Two eyes in front of it looking. Prey animals, grassy, eyes on the side of the head. So it's a different way of seeing the world. So being a predator coming into a prey animal's area was a big factor in how to work psychologically with the animal to allow the predator to come in and work on their body and perhaps destabilize them. And honestly, when I touched the horse in the beginning, I was so surprised because you stroke a horse and they're like that. You go in to touch a horse in the parts which we found where where muscles crossed over different organs. All the physiology was taking into account. And doing the move there, they'd go, what are you doing? That actually is, you could see it weakening them. They'd get a bit wobbly, or because it was on those key points of the body where the strength had to come into, and when a weakness comes into the body, it shows. And so the mental, emotional patterning had to be addressed. And I also worked with a guy called, he was Pat Pirelli, who in the States, and he, I was going to his lectures a lot, and he had brought out this new thing about horses have a lot of issues from in their mind. So it's working with the mind. And I had this thing where, as I was working with, is it in the mind or in the body? And one of my key lectures is it in the body or is it in the mind? And how do you tell if it's in the body or in the mind? And it's so important when you're working with animals that you know if it is in the body or if it's in the mind, and how to work with the mind of the animal so that they will let you in to help them when they're in distress. Because an animal in distress will not allow you to come near them, because they have to be in the, it's a survival of the fittest. Animals, and especially with the wild animals, very much so, survival of the fittest, and they'll fight and bite and scream until they get you away from them.
That's really good. Thank you. Lynley, let's hear from you. Thanks.
Basically, I've always loved animals, always wanted to help. Didn't know, I was always told I had something special about my hands, but I didn't understand that until I got to know what Bowen was about. I fell into this because of, as I said, having an accident, which took me to a Bowen therapist who got me going. And then people kept saying, oh, you should do this for people. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do people. I've been working with them for years. I just want to go back to working with the horses particularly, because they're the love of my life. So then I heard about this lady coming to teach us, and I applied and got in, and I knew instantly that this is what I wanted to do with my life. And I know it's a calling, and I have been so blessed, because ever since I started, all the doors keep opening, and I've just had opportunity after opportunity to be able to learn more and more of this work and go around the world being able to help more animals, both as a practitioner, as a therapist, and as a teacher. And they're two different worlds, but they meld together very well.
That's really good. Thank you, Lynley. It's lovely. It's lovely to hear your story, actually. And it always is nice to hear people's stories, isn't it, about, you know, how they got into something in the first place and, you know, what makes that passion continue. And Lynley, who was that lady that that came to New Zealand that you spoke about?
That lady was Ali Goward, who has now become...
Ah, there we are.
Yeah, I know. And from the first time I met her, I was totally blown away by her huge depth of knowledge, more than anyone else I know in this world, who is able to converse with everybody across the board about animals and people. So both medically, so allopathically, and complementary. Her knowledge of biomechanics, physiology, everything is absolutely phenomenal. And because of her absolute love for this work, having worked with Ozzy and Elaine for so many years, the principles of this work of and philosophies have come through into the Equus College therapy, so EMRT and CCMRT. We do a lot to do with protocols and making sure that, first of all, there's never any harm caused by anything that we do in any shape or form. Being very non-invasive is really important when you're working with animals. You have to be able to read the body and be very respectful of them. And they teach us so well how to wait, to take more time with the therapy and allow them to tell us when they're ready to come in for us to do more. And I was able to, first of all, we learned in New Zealand, and we were the first, there were three of us that qualified. And then from then on, we went over to Australia to the Equus College of Learning and Research. And we became little bits of junkies where we were going all the time because we loved this work so much and we just couldn't learn enough. And then later on, Ali asked me to be a teacher, and I was a little bit gobsmacked because I'd never expected that I would, apart from being a practitioner at home, I'd gone from being to two or four clients in a week to being up to 20, 30, 40 a day at times. And I was working around lots of shows and just working with horses in particular. But along the way, in my travels around New Zealand, I would also be working with lots of other animals, farm animals, sheep, cattle, particularly dairy cows that have had calving paralysis, and lots of working dogs, as well as people with their pets and all the problems that they have. And of course, once you have animals, you've got people. And so then you're treating the animals all day and the people all night. And so you become part of extended families all over New Zealand. And then later on, once I started, I was invited to go to some competitions with New Zealand teams, which was a bit unexpected, but very wonderful. And I learnt then how to work with teams and when it was appropriate to be working with them and when you needed to back off. And also I then got lots more opportunities to be able to bring this work to the rest of the world. So when Ali started me with the teaching, I knew that I was going to be able to go out and get to more animals, be able to help more animals because I was teaching. Also, it gave me the opportunity to work with lots of vets and other health professionals and open up their awareness and the things that happened, the emergencies that they saw and the changes that they saw opened up a whole new world for them as well, which is really important for the therapy so we can get it out there.
Great. Awesome. The topic of today's episode is animals in distress, and we've heard just how much you both love animals and acknowledge that some of this conversation may be a little upsetting for some, especially as we touch on the impact of natural disasters that are becoming more and more frequent. Lindley, if we can begin with you, in February this year, Cyclone Gabrielle hit New Zealand, impacting hundreds of thousands of people, killing 11 and killing and injuring an untold amount of animals. This must have been a very frightening and distressing time. Can you please share with us how you found and used bone therapy at this time of distress?
I know how wonderful this work is in helping anybody in distress because it helps them to calm down and to be able to cope with trauma. And so I was absolutely consumed with the need to be there. So I took my caravan so I didn't take anybody else's resources, and I set up there, and I contacted the people that I knew. I put out posts not knowing whether they would get it because there wasn't any communication. The people that I set up with at an equestrian centre, they would send me out to all the people that were being sent to them to go out and meet the animals, and they would give me supplies and things that I might need for them. It might be medical, it might be food, it might be whatever that I could take that they needed, horse covers and all manner of things that horses need. And the thing that got me was that when I saw them, they were so tired, just absolutely exhausted. And their eyes, there was no life, no life force, and there was no life force in the people either. They were just one step in front of the other, just coping. They didn't know what to do next. They were just one step in front of the other and just doing what they could to survive. And what got me was their eyes. Just, there was nothing there. It was so, so sad. And they were so happy for me to be able to help them in any way that I could. And so, you know, you give them do the first two or three moves and their faces lit up more, you know, there was more life force. A lot of them cried because somebody was listening to them and helping them in a very non-invasive way. The animals were just like, they'd just look at you as if to say thank you. And you could just see, their bodies changing, starting to rehydrate. You could see their expression change and their eyes soften and start to breathe so they could actually cope. And a lot of them had been through really horrific experiences, you know, and swimming for a long time. So their bodies were really sore and bruised. And being able to use this work to help relieve them on all levels, because it is holistic, it was just amazing. And, you know, once people started to hear that we were there with this work, then the call started to come in. So we were able to get there and help them. But I also went to all the organisations that had the dogs and things with them, and there was an organisation at the race course where everybody sent their dogs in, or they didn't send their dogs in because all the rescued dogs had been sent there. And it took me two or three times to be able to get in to actually see the animals. But when I did, I was given permission to do two dogs only. But in there were about 40. Now, I am sure I have this connection with God because he looks after me so many times. And this time he did the job by getting rid of everybody out of the room and just leaving me with all the dogs and a couple of cats that were in there as well. So there were 40 dogs in there in these beautiful big cages I'd made for them. And so I said to them, I'm really sorry I'm not allowed to work with you physically, but this, I'm going to work with these other two dogs, and this is for all of you. So I started, and within 5 minutes, there was just absolute stillness in the room. Everybody had been they'd all been very restless before, and you could just feel the energy was hard and uptight, and it just changed. It just went very still, and then I could hear this slow breathing. And then about 5 minutes later, there was this huge amount of yawning and snoring then started. And the two dogs that I were working with were just lying there, just totally relaxed. And their breathing had changed, their eyes had softened. So I was hoping that the same thing was happening with all the others. So neither of them could take a full treatment. And animals teach us how to read, so you know when to stop. So once each one had had enough, I waited for a little while, and then there was just absolute stillness and this beautiful sense of peace in the room. And so I watched what they were all doing, and they were all just, I just went for a quietly round and checked them all, and they were all just sleeping really, really peacefully. And it's probably the first time they'd been able to actually let down and just be, because when I came in, every time the door opened, they'd be looking and think, oh, no, it's not my people. And then they'd go back and they'd sit dejected down the end of their... It was so sad, like it just made me cry. And so then I figured it was time to go and just leave them be. But I went round every cage and put rescue remedy in their water so they at least had that to carry on with, because they hadn't been giving it to them, even though they'd been donated a whole lot by lots of really well-qualified people to do so. So when I went out, the lady went to go in and I said, please don't, please leave them for about half an hour and then go in. And she said, oh, why? And I said, because they're all asleep and this is the first time they've had no interruptions in their life. They just need that healing sleep. So she said, oh, okay. And then she rang me later on and she said, I don't know what you did, but they're all so much more settled and so much more happy. So thank you so much, and thank you for continuing to put pressure on us to let you in. So that was really lovely.
That's great, Lindley. Thanks for sharing that. How long did you stay in the area supporting people with that, Lindley?
The first time was 10 days. So it was quite interesting because I was doing it all for free, because it was how I could help, was a way I could help. But what was interesting that there'd every now and then there'd be someone that didn't need that help but was sheltering the animals, and so they would get their own animals treated and themselves. So that gave me more money to be able to continue to be there and to give me enough money to get home when I went home as well. After 10 days, I went home and worked for another 5 days, and then I couldn't stay away anymore. I had to go back. Went back, and the next time was 5 days, and then the next time after that was 5 days, and then I've only been back once since, so because life intervenes and all my clients are going, well, where are you? You know, we need you too. But what happened with all of that was that they all talked, and then they were already all giving and supporting anyway. The equestrian society in New Zealand is amazing, the amount of, and all the farmers and everything. I mean, yeah, the good old, it brings out the goodness in people. So me and my caravan had to travel 5 hours to get there because the roads were all closed, so I had to go the long way around. Normally it would be about 2.5, but, and it was a little bit tricky, I have to say, towing a caravan on some of those roads.
Absolutely. Windy New Zealand roads, Lindley. We know all about that, don't we?
Yes,
well done,
exactly.
For the effort.
Yeah. Well, you just do it, don't you? I was totally consumed. I just needed to be there. There was no questions about it. It was just, you have to be. And when you see the results and you see how the animals changed and how it helps the people and it helps everybody. There was a cat with a broken jaw or dislocated jaw, and his tail was all wonky and that as well. So I was able to help him. And of course that made his owner very happy, and a rooster with a broken leg, all sorts of things. Yeah, so many animals. It's just such a joy to be able to help. You know, you can't put a price on this work. You just can't. It is priceless. When you see the change in either the people or the animals, that's payment enough.
Ellie, I'm sure you can relate to much of this. Have you used Bowen in similar circumstances in Australia?
Well, I think a lot of people in Australia will have found perhaps a kangaroo that's been injured or a bird that's been injured. One of the things that made me decide to develop the wildlife first aid course using Animal Botec was because there were so many animals that were getting injured during bushfires and floods too, you know. So that was the reason that we started doing the wildlife one. And it's actually, we have to be very aware that when we're working with wildlife, that we know what we legally can do. And that's a really big factor. We need to be able to know that we don't feed a wild animal. We don't take it on ourselves. A person finds an animal. It's get in touch with your nearest wildlife carer. That's the first thing. But these moves, which I developed, are for the wildlife carers, but they're for everybody if they do find an animal. Like I've found a little magpie a couple of months ago that had fallen out of his nest and injured his wing and was on the ground. And the mother was up in the tree and getting quite irate. And so I worked very gently with the little one, and within a few minutes he was off flying. And there's a few little moves, the first aid moves, and that seems to address everything. After that, every time I go out now, Mummy Magpie, instead of saying, oh, hi, thank you, it's like, oh, yeah, she is, I'm going to get her. It's the first time I've been dive-bombed by a magpie. They're usually quite nice. But yes, no, we've worked with so many wild animals. And a little kangaroo just recently, a little wallaby I was working with, and the poor little thing. You know, humans are great and they're wonderful, they rescue them, but sometimes you can overdo the kindness and just forgetting one factor. In a mama's pouch, in the kangaroo mama's pouch, the little joey can move around a lot. When they're in a homemade human pouch, they don't, and sometimes their tendons get very stuck. And this is what had happened to this little joey. He was very, and he'd grown very big and well, so obviously, you know, he was getting very well fed. But that too can, because the acid, if you have too good a feed, you could get a lot of acid in your body. So acid is not a tendon's friend. So working with this, it releases the acid and actually relaxes the tendons and the muscles. And he actually was a lot better afterwards, and because he had atrophied all through his lower legs. So we can do an awful lot to help. It's very, very valuable. And what it does is also bond you with your animal. They love you. They just absolutely love it. And people learn, it's a great thing for people to learn how to actually be with their animal on their animal's terms rather than on humans' terms. It's like, because we teach you how to read the animal, to be with them, to recognize all the signals they give you, when you can go in, when you should leave them alone. And this actually helps. And then when they see the responses, it's like, oh, wow. And you can do it. It's not me doing it. You're doing it with your animal. And because Bowen is love, to me, Bowen is love in a package. And it's just such a beautiful thing between you and your animal. You know, it's good. You know what? After that little kangaroo I did the other day, it turned around and licked my hands. And it was like the most beautiful thing just to say thank you. And I find that so many animals will just come up, and even horses will come up and just nuzzle in and lick you, because they say, I see you see me. It's just the most wonderful thing. So I feel very blessed.
Good. Thank you. So, Lily, do you find going out to see animals in their home environment, is that a better thing than sort of having people Yep. bring animals to you?
Much better in there, because it's a safe place. So, and the other thing is that then you can leave them to be. You don't have to then put them on a float or put them in a car or whatever it is and interrupt that healing process once the treatment's finished. Because I work a lot at shows, what becomes their home is their yard or their truck. So they go back to their safe place. That's their place. And if something happens to them and they dump their rider and they run away, they always go back to their truck, no matter how big a property it is or how many thousands of trucks there are. They always go back home. So it's quite fascinating.
It is.
Sorry, you probably didn't need that. But
it's great. It's great. So this is what we like to hear. But, you know, you think about how distressed cats get being put into a cage, into the car, and taken off to the vet. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe they'd be much yeah. more comfortable, you know, just sort of having
in their own homes. But
do you work on animals after surgery? Is there a protocol or something yeah. to follow after animals have had surgery, Lindley?
Yeah, we do. Usually within sort of like 72 hours. Try to work with them, because, and you don't do very much, but what that does is help the body get rid of the after effects of the anesthetic, as well as helping the animals to recover quickly as well, so they go off their medications way quicker. When under veterinary direction, we don't have anything to do with that, but that's one of the things that come back, is that they can go off pain relief much, much quicker, and it just helps the whole overall healing of the body, and they recover so much faster and so much better. And one of the things that I learnt many, many years ago was, I was working with a lady that was paralyzed. You know, we take for granted that our bodies aren't working because we can't see it. And when I worked with her, what I noticed was all the skin changes. And I've seen this with the animals too. So, and how it heals faster through having Bowen. She wasn't getting pressure sores anymore, and she didn't have any more carpal tunnel or migraines or any of those things. And after the, I think it was about 9 weeks, she actually, on one treatment, she actually felt every individual toe. I mean, she had no feeling in her legs at all. She was a tetraplegic, but she had a sensation. And what I noticed was that all her circulation, the colour in her legs and her whole body had changed. It changed her life forever. So, and you see it with the animals all the time.
I'm sure by now the listeners are wondering how they can support animals in distress and times of crisis. Can you share with us some of your first aid that you have developed and what you are developing, especially with wildlife in mind?
It came about, let me just say, the first aid moves came about because I was having success with actual near-death situations. When I was working in Terry McAvoy's vet surgeries, because I'd been a surgical nurse, I helped him in operations. And sometimes little dogs go into what's called respiratory arrest under anesthesia. And that was when I did the emergency work on the little dog's lungs, very quickly would bring him round. And so that proved that was the work for that. And I have worked with humans, a couple of humans' lives have been saved with Bowen. I've just been in the right place at the right time. So it's like this work is so valuable to be applied. And, you know, horses, well, there's a documentary out which has got story of a horse in it that I managed to save. It had gone into traumatic shock and just a couple of moves brought the breath back. It wasn't breathing. So, yeah, it's very, very valuable. And what it does is also bond you with your animal. They love you. They just absolutely love it. And people learn, it's a great thing for people to learn how to actually be with their animal on their animal's terms rather than on human's terms. It's like because we teach you how to read the animal, to be with them, to recognize all the signals they give you, when you can go in, when you should leave them alone. And this actually helps. And then when they see the responses, it's like, oh, wow. And you can do it. It's not me doing it. You're doing it with your animal. And because Bowen is love, to me, Bowen is love in a package. And it's just such a beautiful thing between you and your animal. You know, it's good. You know what? After that little kangaroo I did the other day, it turned around and licked my hands. And it was like the most beautiful thing just to say thank you. And I find that so many animals will just come up, and even horses will come up and just nuzzle in and lick you because they say, I see you see me. This, as you know, doing a couple of moves releases the muscles and relaxes the blood flow, lymph flow, etc. And then just recently in the last couple of years, I've been asked by wildlife people if, because they were finding, you know, because we always talk about the wildlife that we help. And they said, well, can you do a specific course for us? So that's been developed in this last year. And yes, there's some exciting things happening. I think going down to Tassie to do it and a few other places. So and it's basically for wildlife carers because we work with so many different species with wildlife, and they all have different needs. And some are prey, and some are predators. So some are birds. You know, there's all different types of wildlife. Whereas when we do the cat and dog, it's for small animals and can be very breed specific.
Thank you both. It's been wonderful to spend time talking to you today. And I'm sure that our listeners, when they listen to this at Bowen Fest, will really enjoy it. Thank you both very much for your time. It's been a delight and a pleasure. Is there one message you would have for Bowen therapists listening to our conversation?
You never stop learning. So, yeah, it's pretty special actually being able to do these courses and give some people the tools to be able to help their own animals.
Yes, I just would absolutely like to thank Aussie, actually, and you know, for their dedication, for having the strength of character to bring through this work into this world. Because no matter where it's gone or what's happened, if they hadn't had that fortitude to do that, I wouldn't be here now talking with you, knowing that hundreds of thousands of animals have been helped, you know, that lives have been saved. I cannot honour them enough. I know they gained, or Aussie gained, Tom Bowen's permission to do this. I asked, when I started to do this, I asked Aussie if I could use the work that he taught me to do this to animals, and he gave me his blessing and also his encouragement, and it has been all the way through. And from a spiritual aspect, permission is so important. You know, you can't go and touch an animal without the permission of the owner. You can't go and touch the animal without the permission of the animal, you know, because they'll say no. So yeah, permission is one of the biggest things in this world, I think, to gain the to be able to go through with an open heart. Because if somebody said no, it puts a block in. So it's like, and I just have to remind the animal people, even though you see an animal that might need you, might get permission. fine. Don't just go and help it with that, because yes, unfortunately, that's the way this world is. Take a breath. Just be still. Think love. Think of what a wonderful gift this is that we have got as a practitioner. And just use your heart in every situation. Just use your heart, because it really is. Bowen has a frequency. It vibrates at a very, very high rate. It's a very positive vibration. I would think that quite a few practitioners would know that people get off the couch and they're like, oh, I feel lighter. I feel so much easier, because it lifts the vibration. It lifts that frequency. And it's heart. It's pure love. So if you can just remind yourself before you start working what this is about, that we're here to be of service, to give love to somebody and maybe even help them.
We hope you enjoyed the conversation, but it doesn't end there. In the show notes below, you'll find a link where you can submit your own question, something that has piqued your interest from the conversation, to ask the presenter. This will happen on Thursday, the 19th of October, during Bowen Fest 23 Live, where all our presenters will be part of a Q&A panel. Put your question forward and have it answered on the night so that we can extend the conversation further, learn more, and connect more deeply. You've been listening to Bowen Fest 23 podcast series, proudly presented by Bowen Therapy New Zealand and the Bowen Association of Australia.